Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, welcome back to Blood River Radio. We've been having a wonderful conversation here tonight. This will be our second and our final memorial show to Charlottesville, Virginia, that fateful day, 8, 12, and 17. I'm very, very proud. Sam sent me up there, and James, I was a political cesspool. Sam sent us up there on his dime. Thanks to contributors sending money in. We never knew it was going to be such a remarkable reporting day that day. We never knew all hell was going to break loose, but it did. And I'm so glad to be a part of those two organizations sent me up there. Matter of fact, right now, as I turn around in my swivel chair, I'm looking at my credentials, my official news credentials. I was and still am an official field reporter for Liberty News Radio. I can go anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world with the credentials I have. I'm so very proud of that. That was my very first gig. Guess what? What a gig to have. What the very first gig you have as a field reporter for a news agency like Liberty Radio was Charlottesville. So we got was baptized into fire. Anyway, we have a wonderful guest coming out in just a second. Her name is Nellie. She was at Charlottesville. She was an eyewitness there. I've been told she participated in, Sam said it was probably the best radio we've ever done here at Blood River Radio. And I know I thought she stole the show that night. I think it was January, about the first week of January 2019 when we had her on. And I'm going to shut up right now and I'm going to bring her on. But I was just going to say this one other thing. She did. We had her on one night and we had Miss Tamara on. Then we brought Miss Nellie on, and get this, people. We had Rick Borden, decorated pilot, Vietnam fighter pilot, and his son, Daniel Borden. We had all of them on a radio show, Blood River Radio, that night, talking about Charlottesville. And she, I thought she stole the show, so we're going to bring her on right now. How are you doing tonight, Miss Nellie?
Oh, I'm all right.
Well, I'll tell you what, you surely did good that night. You were part of probably the best radio show that we've ever done here. Well, we've never done a better one than that night. I'm so proud of it. You know, you keep trying to repeat it. I guess it's like a family having three daughters,
yeah,
and one of them winning Miss Universe, and you're expecting the other, you know, the other daughters, the 1 year daughter 4 years younger, 1 daughter 8 years younger, to come and win Miss America or Miss Universe. But like I said, it's like I told the audience, Miss Nellie, you were there. Briefly tell us about the trip up there real quick. Then I'm going to ask you some other questions about what you saw to Charlottesville.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
Tell the audience, if you will, briefly tell us what brought you to Charlottesville, a little bit of maybe about the trip up there, what brought you there, why you went there, what you expected, what you hoped to accomplish, et cetera, et cetera. Then we'll get into the meat of what you saw.
Well, I mean, having children that I adore, you know, we have a responsibility to them. And, you know, my whole life I've seen so much wrong, the degradation of society. And, I mean, I have white children and I don't have a choice but to fight. And to go and try to stand with people with like minds and to stand for our people, our heritage, our future. Going there, you go with the mindset that you have a right. You know, our ancestors fought to give us a right to express ourselves, or the freedom of speech, whatever. And I feel so traumatized by that day. I don't regret going. I really don't. I'm scared of consequences of the crazies coming after us because of it. I'm horrified that these innocent men have been put in prison. I'm just I'm so traumatized by that. That's my biggest thing. Jacob, Dana Borden, Ramos, all of them. I'm just so horrified that just how bad everything keeps getting. So I'm just trying to fight for all our children's future. It's scary, but I mean, I don't know. I feel horrible for Tams and Scott, and they're good parents that keeps fighting this fight, and they help me keep me on my toes.
Well, you know, go ahead, Nellie.
No, I'm sorry. I'm a nervous person on the radio.
Oh, don't be nervous, because I'm not kidding you. Sam said that probably at the time we did it. Now, we hadn't been on the radio that long, but he said it was the best 1 hour radio we ever did, and you were part of that. And I like to think it was about as good as you could get a radio, about as good as you could get. We'll try to recreate a little bit of that tonight as we speak, by getting you to give your eyewitness testimony of what you saw in Charlottesville. I know Tamara was speaking about you a little bit earlier. She said that you were marching with our people. And tell us a little bit about, Nellie, about when we were when we left the garage, we're going into Lee Park down Market Street. Tell us a little bit about what you saw, about how the behavior of the people there that were opposing us.
You mean like the beginning of the garage, the fight that happened in the garage, or like when we... I'm sorry.
The march to the park and from the park.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was with two people who was with me there, and I just remember two guys in front of me, two young men, and they got bloodied in there. Anyhow, all I remember was these people telling us to kill ourselves. At first, I'm smiling. I thought it was funny. I mean, we're all getting spit on. And I still thought it was funny. I'm like, you people are, you hate yourselves. We don't. We want to live. We want to love our own. These people are so full of self-hate and disgust. And until I got hit, someone hit me, which I thought was nunchucks. I still have no clue. I just had a huge bruise on my back shoulder. And the guys I was with, they just kind of lost it. I mean, everything. It just seemed like everything at one time just went to hell. The two guys in front of us really got beat up pretty bad, and it was horrifying. One of the guys I was with, I thought a gallon of paint got poured on him, but it was pepper spray. He had that much pepper spray, but he was soaked. I lost one of the guys I was with. That was horrifying. Women, I hate to admit it, but women should not be in this. I was hysterical. I kept calm, you know, but in my mind, it's like I kept wanting to fall and to see the horrors of death. And to go with people that you love. And these people are what you did. So, yeah, I'm pretty horrified by this. I had no choice but to stay on my feet and keep, going. And I do say women, because even this one blonde lady that was in the park at the end, she's screaming too. Like, I'm not the only hysterical one. But I'm just sorry. I'm sorry that everyone had to go through that. What our own government has done to us is horrific. I'm really sorry for the guys that are sitting in prison. I'm so sorry to them. I wish I was braver than what I was, but there's video of me with my mouth going. I'm a little embarrassed about, but just walking amongst the hundreds of humans that just want to massacre you. And David Duke, I heard him say once it was like a gauntlet march, and I'm like, yeah, that's. I mean, I will say I'm so proud that I was able to stay on my feet through that hell and to face these people who wanted us dead. I mean, we didn't have much choice. The cops pushed us into them. But I don't regret it. I don't know. I definitely got to take part amongst the heroes. I mean, the guys that went there, and the women, all of them. I'm very proud to stand with them. And I don't know. I'm sorry. I just wish I was stronger to...
You're doing great, Nellie. You're doing absolutely wonderful. You really are. You know, speaking of women, we did have a few women, and I was really kind of surprised, almost shocked that some women were there after the hell broke loose. I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was, but I still thought it really wasn't a place for a lady, you know. And I call me old-fashioned. I'm 73 years old. I still have this a strong sense of male and female, you know. It's just some things women shouldn't do. And I'm not morally judging, but I'm just because of the danger. Now,
yeah.
Compare and contrast that with the women, if you want to call them women, who were on the other side. The ones that I saw with blue hair, orange hair, tattoos all over them, 666 on their foreheads, actually stunk. But go ahead, describe some of their behavior, some of those women there, Nellie.
Well, I mean, these people got away with just, I mean, I don't know. They all just, it is disgusting. But the whole woman part thing, I mean, I've always been a strong woman, always strong, but I've always, you know, respected the man's position on earth. You know, it's nature. We can't just fight that. And Charlottesville definitely showed me I'm not mentally as strong as I thought I was. But the worst thing, I did make the video for Jacob, because that boy, calm, cool, and collective all the way through.
Nellie, we have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you about that video, and I want to ask you about what you saw in Lee Park, but most importantly, I want to ask what you saw in front of the garage, because you were an eyewitness at the fight in front of the garage. That's what we're going to talk about when we come back to this break, people, so hold on.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Well, people, welcome back to Blood River Radio. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. Never-ending sign of strangers. But you're listening to Blood River Radio. It is August the 15th, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2020. This is our second and our last in a series honoring people that were at Charlottesville, marking that traumatic event that will go down in history as a watershed event in the history books. And it's up to people like us, like Blood River, Liberty News, all the other so-called alternative news outlets and individuals to get this story out as best we can because of these lies. They're really hard to defeat because the Zio media is just they have power just you just can't comprehend. But you know, Nelly, getting back to you, and I'd like to, before we go any further, now I was going to take you from Lee Park back once we got to Lee. I assume you got to Lee Park on your trip back to Lee Park when the announcement was made by the state police that we had to vacate the park because the governor and the mayor or the mayor declared a state of emergency. What happened on the way back to the park? Take us back to the front of the garage where the infamous fight took place.
Well, I will say there was two big guys that ended up, like, we left Lee Park trying to escape the hell. We didn't have a choice. We ended up stopping, and then some guys heard that there were guys left behind. So I know one was Ramos and the other guy, and they started marching back, and we started following them. And at least that's what the video shows. So that's why we ended up going back through that hell. And I don't know, I was just following him. the blacks, it's so horrific. Watching those videos to see how bad our guys behind trying to, oh my God, just the awful things that the blacks were saying, attacking our guys. And I'm so proud of those guys. If any of them's listening, I am so proud. They looked so good. They just marched so good, and they just, you know, they just kept going, and they looked strong. I'm just proud of them. They were taking the hits, but whatever. And I specifically remember passing the guy that got hit with the mag flashlight, because I'm sitting there just in my mind, terrified in my mind what was happening to us. And I'm like, why is he just standing there? He's got to keep going. And then all of a sudden, the chaos broke out. The guy's going back to save the guy that got hit with the mag flashlight. And, well, then the videos, and I just remember being in horror because one of my guys was in there, and I'm like, oh, my God, please, let's go home. Please, let's get out of here. But I was hysterical. And so, anyways, we get out. Just marching in that heat with all that pepper spray on us. The heat, nothing to drink, and it was just hell. Like, I'm sure, you know, the military goes through worse, but that really felt like hell. And just horrified, just absolutely in shock what had happened to everybody. I'm just so ashamed of myself.
You know, Nelly,
I'm so ashamed of our government.
You've done great. You know, if you've ever smelt any CS gas, you never forget that. As we were marching toward, I think it was McIntyre Park, once we got broke up, rally got broke up by the thugocracy there, the police, whatever you want to call them, a bunch of thugs. But on the way to McIntyre Park, I got the distinct odor, whiffed of CS gas. If you ever smell CS gas, you'll never forget it. I'm just going to throw that as an aside because Nelly's absolutely right. I don't know where, I do know where the Antifa got the CS gas. They would have had to got that from the government because you just can't go into any store. You can't go in a drugstore and buy these little maize sprays that a lot of women use on their keychain to kind of keep the feral animals away from them. They had to get that some type of government out, like the Army, et cetera, National Guard. But, you know, Nelly, I too saw, luckily you described what looked like a gallon, you know, buckets of paints on people. And I saw that before I even got into Lee Park, probably 50 to 100 meters from Lee Park, I saw kids younger than my grandson that had helmets on, but the pepper spray was so profuse. The Antifa, the BLM, the Satanists, they had so much of it. I guess they were just throwing it like out of jars or something because I felt so sorry for them because they were just in agony. But Nelly, going back, leaving the park, getting back to the garage, let's go back. Go back to the garage. I know you saw what went on there with the famous fight. And I'm not going to, in a court, they would say leading the witness. I'm not going to lead the witness. Talk about some of the people that you know that were on our side. They were in front of the infamous garage on Market Street, the fight they got into. in your own words.
Well, Tell us what you saw. One guy, the one guy who first initially tried to help the guy with the getting hit with the night flashlight, and he tried. I guess the blacks all started hoarding after him, and I remember him falling on the concrete, and the guys all started charging in to go save these guys. I mean, the guy with the mag flashlight got hit. Then the guy that the blacks tackled. But before some of the guys could help the guy laying on that curb thing in that garage, that black started coming towards them. And that's where Jacob had tried to defend himself. And, oh, God, that whole the whole story of that, what the media portrays.
Now, Jacob, who, tell the audience, tell which Jacob was that now, Tamara?
Excuse me, Nellie? Jacob Goodman.
Come again? Good. Okay. I want the audience to know that I'm not putting words in your mouth. I wanted you to say it on your own free will. And we did not have a conference before the show, people, even though Miss Nellie was on our show back in January. I'm not coaxing her any at all. She was there just like I was, like other witnesses were. Proceed, Miss Nellie.
Well, the biggest thing I can't understand is the horrors that we were in. We so many of us thought we were going to die, be just mutilated by these crazies. And, I mean, so I can only imagine all these guys' their temperaments on high levels, you know. And did some take and do more than they should? I can't say. I know in my mind, if I was in a physical confrontation, I would have fought till death probably in that moment. And so I don't understand how these guys can't get away with trying to defend humans, even at high levels of testosterone or whatever. I mean, we all thought we could be dead at any moment. I just don't understand. I don't know. I just think it's unfair what's happened to everybody. I was in so much chaos in my head from it all. That's the worst for me, the not being able to control. I don't know. Everything's out of control. You can't control your own safety or anyone else's. And
Nellie, did you see anybody else that you're familiar with, that you know? Any other guys on our side involved in the battle in front of the garage?
Well, I didn't know anybody but the two guys I had actually went with. So then one of my guys was with me there, and I remember, I don't know if it was the same old guy. Well, I don't know if he was old or not. This one is the same guy, but he got hit with the mag flashlight. I don't know if it was him that got beat up again in front of the police department. And I know one of my guys turned around to go and help that old guy or whoever it was getting beat up by all them nasty, disgusting humans. And the cop threatened to taser my son. And the person I'm with, and it's like, this is insane. Everything's just insane. So, yeah, I don't know. It's all, it's just a mess. Everything's just.
Did you see Daniel Borden there? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but are you familiar? I know you were on the line with Daniel Borden back in January. Did you see him there, Nellie?
Yeah, he was with us when we were leaving. He was with us as we left the garage, and we all ended up going up that hill to another park that had cages in it, which is actually freaky looking back now. What were they planning to do with us in that caged park area? I don't know. It was hellacious to get back to our vehicles.
Well, let me ask this, Nellie. In your opinion, on what you saw with the guys involved in the fight, we have two of them. We know we have three of them in prison. Did you see any of them doing anything other than just trying to defend themselves from attack of a hostile crowd?
I would give my life to say those kids defended themselves. They defended themselves. They do not deserve what's happened to them.
Well, I'll tell you what,
my heart, if you really, the day I die, will always be broke for them, always.
Well, Nellie, once again, you stole the show. That was an eyewitness account. People, you listened to Nellie. Thank you so much, Nellie, for coming on tonight. People, you listened to an eyewitness account of what actually happened in Charlottesville. Totally different from what the mainstream news has put out. Now we're getting ready to go to our last half-hour guest. We're bringing on Matt Goodwin, who is a co-host with Blood River Radio. Thank you so much, Nellie.
Prepare. protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
From police injuries to financial losses from looters, the aftermath from weeks of cross-country protests are crushing some cities. All told, the unruly demonstrations following the death of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery could make it one of the costliest displays of civil disorder in U.S. history. In many places, the financial fallout comes as cities and states are draining their coffers trying to fight COVID-19. The end result for these cities could put them millions of dollars in the red and struggling for years. In Minneapolis, costs related to the protest could hit over $500 million. In Portland, Oregon, nearly 80 nights of destruction have caused them $23 million and counting. And in Chicago, a city that's seeing soaring crime rates and corruption at the highest levels, the damage done from the protest has high-end retailers crippled and mom-and-pop stores trying to eke out a living. This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by August 31st, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have. And start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A three-judge panel of the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals threw out California's ban on high-capacity ammunition magazines, saying the law violates the U.S. Constitution's protection to the right to bear firearms. Judge Kenneth Lee wrote for the panel's majority, "Even well-intentioned laws must pass constitutional muster." California's ban on magazines holding more than 10 bullets strikes at the core of the Second Amendment, the right to armed self-defense. He noted that California passed the law in the wake of heart-wrenching and highly publicized mass shootings, but said that's not enough to justify a ban whose scope is so sweeping that half of all magazines in America would be unlawful in California. Israel's agreement to establish diplomatic ties with the United Arab Emirates marks a great moment in its relationship with Arab countries, but Palestinians are saying it puts a just resolution of the Middle East conflict farther out of reach. Listen live anytime at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Thank you, sir. Well, people, dear people, thank you so much for hanging on. You may have noticed that our commercials are fewer and further apart. We have more broadcast time now, thanks to Sam. But anyway, we're going to our last half hour. We're bringing on our dear co-host tonight, Matt Goodwin. He also rode to Charlottesville. I rode to Charlottesville with him. It was the first time I'd ever seen Matt. We rode to Charlottesville together. Y'all have heard me say this before. Deserves repeating. Matt, Rich Hamblin, Gene Andrews, and Simon Roche. Roche, however you want to pronounce it. We all rode to Charlottesville together, and that's how we became brothers. Well, anyway, Matt's going to come on, and he's going to tell you his version, what he saw, everything that he can remember about Charlottesville. Keep in mind, this is longer segments than we used to have. So how you doing tonight, Matt the Mole Goodwin?
Oh, it's wonderful to be here with you, brother. I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Man, we're doing pretty daggum good. Finally got that air conditioner cranking up pretty good again. It was like a, you know, if it's 96 outside, it'll be 102 in here. That's like it was in Beanfield when me and James used to talk on the radio way yonder time. Before I even knew you. So, but anyway, as you well know, Matt.
I'll start going, and when I start running out of steam, you can come in and ask me some questions. How about that?
You go. Sounds great, man. Go ahead.
So, like you said, the first time I met you was August 12th, or, well, the day before, actually, when we picked you up. in Tennessee. And
Cookeville.
The ride there, we bonded together. It was like a brotherhood immediately. We did not even realize what we were heading toward. I almost never even went to Charlottesville because, like so many other men, I had plans. I had things I'm working on. I had my daily work life. I thought, you know, I'm not real big into street activism or holding signs or doing whatever. I thought like many of you men out there, and I decided just so I was seeing some things in the news leading up to it, where the news was stoking all this anti-Confederate monuments, our history story, and that was the narrative that was leading into Charlottesville. So about 2 weeks or 3 weeks before Charlottesville, I decided, much like Jacob Goodwin, and I decided that I have to stand up and do something, and that if I'm not going to do it now, when are we going to stand up and do something and make a stand for our people? So I decided to go, and I am so thankful I did. We went there. We had no clue what we were driving into. We already started developing a brotherhood, a friendship in that vehicle, the conversations we were having. Those are the types of things men and women should be doing. Discussing about our people, talking about our future and what we're trying to stand for now, the core principles we believe right now. As you said, these animals, Eddie, have no desire for us to maintain a future. They're destroying a future for our people, and they're doing it right now. They're activists. Where are our activists? So that was time. I had to go to Charlottesville. We went there, and I really wanted to go to the torch lighting ceremony because I can't think of one image that burns in my mind any stronger than that image of hundreds of men around that statue with the torch and that torch light surrounding the general there. That picture has terrified our enemies because the last Yes. thing they want is our people standing up for their monument and surrounding our monument. And as Simon Rush out of South Africa said, they chained themselves to their monuments when the communists came for their monuments in South Africa. Where are our people doing that? That image has terrified them for years. It's hard to believe that 3 years has passed. Well, the next morning, the League of the South met for prayer right before going down to the street. I went up to Dr. Hill. I said, I didn't know we already had the plans to have a prayer, but I begged him. I said, Dr. Hill, let's have a prayer. And he said, well, we're going to. He was already pulling it out, a prayer he'd already written down and commenced to God and committed to God. And we all knelt down on the gravel. At least some of us did, maybe not all. But as I recall, some of us knelt down on the gravel there, and we said a prayer to the Almighty God that delivers. And we asked him to look out for our safety and to protect us through the day. We'd already seen what had happened in Berkeley, California. We'd already seen what had happened in Auburn, Auburn State University. We'd seen what happened in Kentucky. It was at Pikeville. We knew Antifa were dangerous thugs. We knew that they're well-funded, and we knew those people are going to meet us at Charlottesville. So it made sense to have defensive gear. All of you people that deride us about being there for trouble because you clearly had defensive gear, are you stupid? Would you walk into a melee without the slightest bit of defense? No, you wouldn't. So we didn't either. We had defensive gear, but it was only defensive gear, and it was all according to the state laws of the state of Virginia. We'd already gotten assurance and a court procedure at a court, a Supreme Court federal judge that granted us the right to be there. So the next morning we go, we gather, we pray, and we start heading towards the garage. We all lined up and right in the garage. I'm going to tell you some things that you probably haven't heard about this. We were in columns of about four or five columns. We were ready to march down there, and we started beating the ground to psych our minds up about the mob that was ready to meet us right outside the door of that garage. And it worked. I promise you, it worked. It helped us build up a little bit of courage just to know, because we could hear the mob outside. We knew what we were about to walk into. We started down that street, and it wasn't, we just had just left the parking garage, and people start coming up and throwing punches, throwing rocks at us. The news crews are throwing their cameras in our faces. They're trying to get whatever type of clips they can do to alter and distort our image. I know a balloon came with filled with some sort of paint and smacked me over the head, just covered me in all this pink paint. Not my color.
But, no, it's not.
But this is the type of stuff we had to deal with, people. They were forming a human chain to block us from getting into the park. We had a federal court order that we had the right to assemble. They were blocking us. And all with the approval of the police standing by. I don't want you to forget that. The police were certainly involved in this group of people. And I want to say, I want to stop my discourse right here and say one thing. I want to say a special message of hate for all of you Antifa, all of the Antifa puppets, and all of your Antifa funders and masters that herd these Antifa around like little dogs on leashes. We marched through Antifa that day. And then we came back and did it again. All of you people that have seen Antifa causing terror in the streets in Minneapolis, causing terror in the streets here, beating people over the face with 2x4s, looting stores, attacking white people at will. League of the South went through them and came back. Let that sink in.
Sure did.
So, one of the proudest moments of my life was marching through Antifa and then coming out on the other side smiling and marching through them again. Nelly was right. You have to smile at these satanic people. They think they're accomplishing something. I was just smiling. These people, they have no foundation. They have no future. They think they do, but they have no future. God's going to strike all of them down. So take courage, people, because we know whose side is going to win.
Well, they have a future, all right, Matt, but it's going to be in hell. But go ahead.
We were in the park. And they kept throwing rocks and throwing, they would, what the communists do since the 60s or 70s, that's a little trick they like to do, take cans of Coke, and sometimes they just crack it open and throw Coke all over you. Sometimes they fill it with rocks and throw rocks with weighted cans on you. They do stuff like that. But this type of stuff was nonstop for at least an hour, just chugging stuff at us and attacking our lines.
Matt, we got to go to a quick break, fella. I'm my brother, and we'll be right back after this break. People, hang on to your seats, and you're listening to an eyewitness account of what actually happened in Charlottesville. I'll be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, people, we're right back, and we're getting ready to go to our final segment of our final episode of our salute to the third anniversary of the Battle of Charlottesville. And Matt was right there, the guy who's been talking, that's been on the radio. He was right there, front and center, boots on the ground. Continue on, Matt.
So we were inside the park, and we had one permit, one federal injunction that we had the right to assemble, but guess what the city of Charlottesville did? They had a special present for us. They put barricades in between our group to divide our own group. And there was people across the two barricades that you couldn't reach out and shake their hand. They had us about 8 feet in between or 10 feet apart. That was the kind of division they were trying to create among the people on the right who had the federal injunction to rally. They were trying to divide us. Then we ended up ultimately knocking the barricades over and joining as one group. But by that time, the Antifa had been assaulting our lines, and we had men that lined up on the front as a shield. They stood there and held Antifa off, and they held it for about 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes. And then once it reached a peak climax, that is when the Virginia State declared the notorious state of emergency. All the police left. They all marched out of there. And then another group of police came back, and they were decked out in all of their paramilitary. They looked like they were ready to have some sort of, I don't know, some sort of crazy martial arts attack ceremony or something. So they were just all lined up with these big puffy outfits and all their paramilitary stuff, the scumbags. So they were lined up behind us. They worked their way around us, declaring that it's a state of emergency. They said, you must leave the park and leave the streets immediately. But they only pushed us out of the park. But they pushed us out in a direction that was opposite of the way we came in. So they not only did they force us out of the park, they didn't force any file off the street, as they said. No, they just forced us into the street, but opposite of the way we came in, which means we had to walk back through Antifa, the whole stretch of Antifa, with them lined up on each side of the street. And that was where the fateful march happened, where we were marching up Market Street to get back to the garage and our vehicles. And it felt much like, if you've ever seen The Last of the Mohicans, when the men are marching, the British are marching there, and the random attackers come from out of the woods and start beating people over. That was exactly how it felt. As we were marching, I saw one person had a cell phone, and somebody random ran out of the crowd and nailed the phone out of that person's hand and stepped on it and just crushed it. That was the kind of hatred and just disgust these people are and had for us. Many of the people were chanting slurs against us. They hated us, making fun of anything that had to do with truth, godliness, order, especially our culture. We started marching to get closer to the garage, and we ended up right in front of the garage where some of the most vicious attacks started happening. I was there. I heard a big scuffle. Later, I found out that was when Harold Cruz got pummeled over the face with that mag light by a group of thugs. He was over there, and men were rushing in to help him and to thwart the attacks on our right flank. And I pulled Harold Cruz over and started trying to help him and minister to his wounds when another person came from behind him and smacked him in the back of the head with what I thought to be a lead pipe. It had that kind of sound to it. Harold just went straight to the ground. And I was in awe and shock just staring at what I considered just to be a murder right in front of me. Fortunately, it wasn't. He was spared, but it was a brutal attack. Others of my friends that were around me were attacked right there, right? And by the way, the parking garage is there, people. The police station is right beside it. There were tons of police there. Men and women, police officers, who were very happy to sit there and watch. There was one sheriff's officer who came over, and he finally tried to break it up and said, all right, move on. One guy in all of Charlottesville, and he was a sheriff.
Matt, I'd like to say one thing, and I'm going to end it very quickly. You mentioned the fellow getting hit in the head squarely with a mag light. We were told before we went into the park by the chief of operations of Ike Baker that it's a felony to hit anybody on the body above the shoulders with any type of weapon. Go ahead, Matt.
That's true. They did say that. Well, this attack happened. This coincided with our groups getting split up. Some went on to McIntyre Park. I cannot commentary about that. I can't speak for that. I did not end up at McIntyre Park. My friends and I were standing by the police station, which we deemed to be probably the closest, safest place to our exit and cars at that time that we could manage to stand out of the way and try to wait for assembly of our people together. But while I was there, I remember one black guy across the street, they started yelling for an ambulance. And there was our guy on the right side, the right side politically, our guy, over by the police station. He was bleeding out of his head profusely, just with his own hand holding his own wound. No one was helping him. I walked up to him. I said, do you need water? He said, yes, please. I went up to the police officer, and I asked the police officer for water for him. And I pointed at him. I said, that man needs some water. Can you get him some water, please? The police officer started to ignore me. Then I got in the police officer's face, and I said, go get him water now. It's in there. And I pointed at the police station. Then he jumped to his feet and ran and got him some water. But that's the kind of mentality we were getting from law enforcement. When the ambulances finally came, we were there long enough to actually see the ambulance make it through the crowd. When the ambulance came, even though our guy was hurt first, he was over by the police station. He was bleeding out profusely with a head wound that was very bad. They still went to the Antifa first and picked up the Antifa and ministered to the Antifa. Well, this was a Black Lives Matter guy in particular, to be more precise. So everything that day was designed to be against white people and against Southern heritage. And I want to remind you all of all the events that have transpired between then and now, that what we were walking into, what we drove through that day, I had no clue of. That was just the beginning of the turning point in America for what our future is going to be. And none of us knew that at that time. Eddie, back to you.
You did a great job, man. I tell you what, I don't think you left one stone unturned, but you mentioned one fact that that's in my memory. When the police, I guess you call them the regular black and white beat cops, when they left the park, those other cops that came in, my God, I've never seen anything. It looked like they had almost like extra thick catchers, this garb that the catchers at the baseball game wear. Only it looked like the padding was probably, I'm going to say, 4 to 6 inches thick. They look like some kind of space aliens. But the point I was going to get is, Matt, you could tell they plan to defy that court order well in advance, because the police maneuvers against us, the right thinkers, against the League of the South, against the white people, it was with military precision that they carried that out. They didn't just haphazardly put that together, and the fences you put up in the park too. I had almost forgotten that, but you're so right about that. But Matt, people said we'll probably never have another Charlottesville. I think there will be. I really do. And you mentioned something else too. You said that you decided before you went that if not then, when was Matt Goodwin and other Matt Goodwins of the white race going to stand, finally take a stand against this evil, no matter the cost? And so Matt did. Others of us did. I had no clue it was going to be that bad. I went there just as a reporter for Liberty News Radio. But everything Matt said is true. I went to McIntyre Park. I saw one fellow. His name was R.G. Miller. At the time, he was the leader of the Arkansas State League of the South. He's one of the few people I recognized, because it was all hell broke loose. We got separated. So I asked him, where is he going? He said, we're going to regroup in McIntyre Park, and we're going to try to have the rest of our protest down there. But by the time we got there, it was hot that day. Police kind of got there about the same time we did, with National Guard. They had gone to a whole new level. The government against us, and telling us we were trying to get water. It was hot. We had this old people with us, older than me, of course. Well, he's older acting, because I've run marathons and stuff. But we had to immediately turn around, no water. And march, I guess it must have been, 2-3 miles from McIntyre Park back to Lee Park. We had to march past Lee Park. And I went to the wrong garage, got lost, and I finally found our garage. But what I'm getting to is, Matt, you mentioned another thing. And I disagree with a lot of the guys in fact, I told sorry to call him Doctor, but President Michael, Dr. Michael Hill and Ike, they say we can't afford to lose brave men. We need to let these statues, they're saying that we can replace statues, but we can't replace brave men. I disagree. I think if we sat there, Matt, and we let these feral animals, these satanic, Luciferian, Bushelvic, Zionist Jews continue to destroy our heritage at will and make us watch, that's the ultimate intimidation. This is the ultimate insults to us as men, as free people. If we allow that to happen, when God Almighty, when are we going to stand up? When are we going to occupy the streets? On our website, Matt knows this, on our website, that's one of the promises we've made at Blood River Radio. We want to eventually occupy the streets. We're out of time already. I'm sorry. Matt, thank you for coming on tonight. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, people, for listening in. We ran out of time a little quicker than I thought we would. Next week, this is our last tribute to Charlottesville. Last week, we got, I think, Tom Goodrich coming on with a new audiobook of Hellstorm. Anyway, good night, people. See you same time, same place next week. It'll be 22nd. Thank you again, Matt. Thank you, Sam. Good night, everybody.